Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Comics Experience Podcast. This episode, we are talking about a question from a listener. The question came to us via Facebook, which you can find Comics Experience online a couple places, right, Andy? We got your mothership, comicsexperience.com. You got at Comic Experience on Twitter, and then you got Comics Experience on Facebook. This came from Michael, who said the following: I listen to your podcast, and I've made a few comics, but I haven't been able to find work. I feel I need to get in with the right people, but I just don't know who they are. And that again came in from Michael, and we talked about it before we started recording. It's a little bit broad, so I don't know if your thought was to tackle it in the broad sense of what kind of work you're looking for, and who should you talk to, and you know, what are you looking to do with your comics. But that seems like could be a good way in. Did you have a different thought on how to get in, Andy?
No, I thought we'd sort of tackle it broadly. And then if you're listening to this and you have a follow-up, more specific question, not just Michael, the one that asked it, but anybody listening, like if this conversation sparks another question, then that's great. Send those in. And then one other place where you can reach us is the email address, info@comicsexperience.com. And that's comics, plural, C-O-M-I-C-S, experience.com. I figured we'd tackle it broadly. Do you want me to jump in, or do you want to jump in?
Well, I think
who goes first?
Well, to the point of, you know, what are you trying to do and what kind of work are you looking to find? That is broad, just based on skill set, interest, and I've been thinking about collaborators recently and how you find people and how you stay in touch, which is very different from getting work with a publisher and having somebody pay you or trying to get your creator-owned comic pitched. But I guess my default, and I was thinking about this earlier too, our friend Paul Aller has a new comic coming out as of this recording. It'll be out Wednesday, December 13th, called Monstro Mechanica, which we actually talked about a few episodes back. And I think a lot of times in comics, when you want to figure out how to find work, you look at the work you like and go, well, who's doing it? And then how did they get there? And trying to find out as much as possible to go, oh, well, how did Paul get to the point where he's doing this creator-owned book? And you can look back through Paul's history and see that he started making his own comics and started getting to know people at, I want to say the first place was IDW, and started doing some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stories in that universe. And then from there, you know, that grew into working with different publishers, continuing to self-publish, doing a Kickstarter, and, you know, now that's where he is now with Monstro Mechanica. So I guess for me, you know, finding the right people and figuring out who they are is a little bit of detective work. You know, in the old days, back in the 1900s, when I grew up reading comics, there was no internet, so you couldn't get on and say, hey, writer, artist, colorist, editor I like, I got a question, and you know, talk to them on Twitter or Facebook or show up in their Instagram feed and maybe get some direct things answered. But it was looking at the comics credit boxes and anything that you could find in print form in the comics press and go, oh, that's how they got started. And thinking, well, I could do that. I write like this for the school paper. Maybe if I transition into more writing for comics, and you know, I've got this journalism, you start to see who came from where and realize that, oh, there are lots of different ways into the industry. But to the specific question from Michael, you know, how do you find the right people to get the eyes in front of? I think it's a little bit of detective work, and I think it's also depending on what you're looking to do. If you're looking to be a colorist or a writer, writer's a little bit more tricky than maybe art in terms of getting into things and lettering, because if you're a writer, you're also looking for collaborators on the art side. But if you're an artist, you know, it's drawing your own sequentials and getting them online in a portfolio in some capacity and having some amount of an online presence, either social media and a website or a website. And then from there, it's getting someone's attention or interacting with them or taking that step to submit. You know, I know a number of companies have different places you can submit to on the artist front, especially. That'll be through different online portals. And I believe that a number of the larger publishers and smaller publishers will also have scheduled portfolio reviews at conventions. So if you can get a convention slot, review time, that's another great way to have that one-on-one interaction with a group of people that you can follow up with later.
That's all accurate. I mean, I think the thing that stood out for me, and full disclosure, I don't even know Michael's last name. I have no idea who Michael is, other than a listener, which I appreciate. And I don't know anything about the projects that he said he'd made a few comics. And I don't know anything about those comics. And I don't know if he self-published them, if he put them online digitally. I don't know anything about the genre that he made of the comics or anything. So, but there is this sort of this notion of, I made some comics, which is good. That's part of the process of becoming a comic book creator who gets paid. But there's a lot more between I make comics and I get offered work for most people. So it seems like he's almost trying to leap over the, you know, sort of the next stage or two of the process. And there is no typical process for breaking in. There are common elements, but there is no like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps and you're done, you're in, you know? so that's worth noting too, but so when somebody makes their own comics, there's still a lot of variables there. You know, it's not like you make a few comics and then all of a sudden, you know, DC Comics calls you up and you're hired to write stuff or draw stuff. But it depends on what those comics are. It depends on who sees them or if they're successful. Is there any buzz around them? Have you managed to build any kind of fan base? And if the answer is no to any one or maybe two of those, you know, that can be okay. Like, very few people manage to do all of those things right off the bat. But I do think there's a lot more to look at than I've made some comics and now I'm looking for work. So, you know, obviously a lot depends on the quality of those comics. If you're walking around at conventions and you're handing out comics and they're good, but they're not like mind-blowingly good, it's probably not going to result in, you know, paid work offers. You probably have still more that you're going to do, or you're maybe talking to the wrong publishers. You're talking to publishers that are, you know, that are too big or have really established creators that they, you know, the editorial staff likes working with these guys. They're not particularly looking for new talent. You know, you might just be looking at the wrong type of publisher at that point. So there's just so many variables that go into that. You know, likewise, if you're writing romance comics and then you go up to Marvel and go, I want to write the Avengers, they're going to, even if it's a really great romance comic, they're going to be like, not sure I see you on Avengers, but maybe go talk to this publisher over here that does romance. So, you know, there could just be like sort of a mishmash and, you know, we usually call it casting, you know, from an editorial standpoint, like the writer artist combo that's going to hit this particular project out of the park. And there's a lot of variables that go into that too. So it could also be you've got a great comic that you've made or a couple great comics you've made and they just don't have the project where you're the right casting for it. Right. So, I mean, there's any number of explanations and they're not, you know, you haven't been in the right place at the right time yet. There hasn't been the right project yet for you. Maybe the quality of the projects you're doing isn't quite what it needs to be. So, and we're talking specifically about getting offers to get paid for work. You know, creating your own comics is a different thing. And the more comics you create, the better you're going to get, the more people are going to see that you're going after it. But specifically when you are asking somebody to give you money to create a comic for them, that's a different scenario than I create my own comics and I want them to be successful. Those are two very different things and two very different sets of goals. And that doesn't mean there isn't some overlap, obviously, in how you might go about doing that, but they are very different and it's a different type of relationship. So in terms of, so there's just too many variables right there in that part of the question for me to really get into that. But in the part where, Joey, you were talking about meeting the right people, excuse me, still getting over a cold. In terms of meeting the right people, I think a lot of that has to do with the myth that there is a right person. Like that there's just like one gatekeeper here. And if I just meet the gatekeeper at such and such a publisher, then I'll get all this work. And that's, there's multiple gatekeepers. And the reality is a lot of people that you don't think of as particularly gatekeepers can be if they wind up being somebody that's really in your corner, right? Somebody that'll go to bat for you. And so the right person may not be quote unquote the right person. It may be the person that you've gotten to know, that you've established a relationship with, that you are comfortable having a cup of coffee with and talking to about stuff. And they wind up being an editor somewhere, or they're already an editor somewhere and they leave and they go somewhere else where there are more projects that are right for you. So a lot of these, a lot of the stories about people breaking in have to do with, yeah, I was friendly with so-and-so and they wound up in a position where they had a project and they thought I was a good fit for it. But you know, the thing is that there are so, again, so many variables, so many moving targets. A lot of times you wind up, you know, I hear a lot of folks say like, yeah, I really wanted to get to know these three editors at this company. And then they do. And then two of those editors leave.
Right.
and then the third one changes their role to like something else, you know, within the company. And you're like, okay, well, I just did all that work to try to break into this company and none of those contacts are there. Well, if you're too focused, you know what I mean? Like if you're too focused on specifically this, this one only objective, then you can miss other opportunities because you got blinders on. So as those two people left and went to other publishers, you know, what do those other publishers do? Maintain those relationships. Even if it's a publisher you have no interest in working at, well, 2 years from now, that person could leave and go to another publisher. So if you get along with them, stay in touch. You never know. Or they may have other friends and they wind up recommending you. So the idea that, and I may be reading too much into Michael's question, but the idea that there are these like these right people, that there's like these five people that are in charge of everything, you know, there's not an Illuminati like that in comics that I'm aware of. You know, obviously there are high up people in certain companies that have influence, that have a lot of influence, but I don't think it's, you know, it's not like there's one person at Marvel that is this gatekeeper. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of editors. There's a bunch of editors at DC. There's one or two people at Image, from what I understand. So, but I do think that's it, is that, you know, and again, maybe I'm reading too much into the question, but it seems to me, it appears to me that the question is sort of implying that there are these right people. And there aren't right people, there are just people.
Right.
And there are people in the comics industry, there are people that are in a position to hire, there are people that are in positions to recommend you. And all of those are valuable, and you never know which one of those is going to turn out. Now, that doesn't mean don't have a strategy, don't be targeted about, you know, the places you want to be, the types of people that you want to meet and the relationships you want to foster. But I think true relationships, you know, sort of, you know, actual friendships that you make are 10 times more valuable than contacts that you've made and you've established several times, but are a little bit more manufactured, if that makes sense.
I think that's a great way to sum it up, because I think you do get into kind of that mindset if you're meeting someone in person of, or let's say going to a convention, since that is the most common way. You know, you're going to a convention and you want to meet people and like, I got to meet this editor. And I think a lot of times that can be kind of obvious depending on how you're trying to do it. But also you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't meet people that, you know, share your enthusiasm and excitement for comics and aren't in a position to give you anything. You know, you might not collaborate with them. They might technically, you know, you could say, well, another writer is my competition, but it's people that you do have those friendships that develop, and then you become friends in comics. And you said it a great way, you differentiated it, you know, you're having that goal to meet someone and to get in front of them or establish some kind of communication maybe. But the bigger picture of developing relationships that matter and last for a couple years that may never pay off or might pay off down the line is really, you know, for me, that's where a lot of the pleasure comes in, is just getting to know people and having the consistency and the friendships where you can call somebody or email somebody, or you're excited that you're going to see them after having not seen them in a year. And I think that's a great way to say it. You know, you can show them what you've been doing over that year, and here's my new comic, and maybe that person is the editor that says, oh, I do need somebody to write this backup for this romance thing. You think you could do 5 pages, and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, and I will say this. I mean, you brought up an interesting point about, you know, if you're a writer and you kind of look at other writers as competition. I think I've probably, in terms of work I've gotten by referral, I've probably gotten 80% of my referral writing work from writers.
Yeah.
From other writers who either couldn't do it or didn't feel that they were right for it, but then recommended me for those jobs. So maybe they're my competition, but I really like them a lot. But you know, the interesting thing, just to kind of wrap up the point of my point on this question, the interesting thing about the question is that it's a good question. Because the question is kind of vague and broad, and I don't have any details on behind the scenes on it, but you know, I'm cautious about making sure, or at least pointing out that there may be some underlying assumptions that may or may not be accurate on it. And then the other part is that focus of the sort of developing a I really like the term community rather than network.
Sure.
Developing that community around you, rather than a network, because I think that tends to pay off more, and you can still do that strategically. It's not all random. I think there's, you know, it may sound like I'm just saying like it's all random, just be friends with everybody, and that's not what I intend to say, but I can see how it could get interpreted that way. But
yeah,
but I do think, you know, building that network, building stronger relationships, building real relationships is really key to this kind of to really any endeavor, honestly, not just comics.
No, yeah. Agreed. I think community is a great way to sum it up. I think that's for what we had as far as the fleshed outness of the question. I think that's a good way to leave it. If you have something you want to hear talked about on the show, you can email, like Andy said, it's info@comicsexperience, and you can also tweet @comicsexperience on Twitter, or you can send the message through Facebook, and we will happily talk about it on the show. We're in December, at least as of this recording, and I know there's a lot going on. Folks are wrapping up comics. You've got a lot going on at Comics Experience, planning for the new year and projects wrapping up. What is going on at the old comicsexperience.com?
Well, one cool thing we're doing this December is we've got a gift membership to the Comics Experience Creators Workshop. Speaking of community, of like-minded folks, we've got a lot of working professionals that are on the workshop, folks like Fred Van Lente and Cullen Bunn and Riley Brown and several others, Chris Sotomayor, the colorist, that are on there, that take questions, and tons of people that are in various stages of their comics career and comics making journey, and it's a really supportive, great group. But what we've got is this special for December. It's a gift membership where you can buy 3 months, a 3 month membership as a flat fee. Usually it's a subscription, so there's no, you don't get your credit card or your PayPal, whatever, dinged.
Right.
Again, this is a one-time fee, and you can gift it to yourself if you want, but you can, the idea is that it would be, your holiday gift to somebody else. But that's a pretty cool thing. If you're listening to this, you're probably not thinking, well, I'll get this for somebody else, but it's there. And that's pretty cool. And the Creators Workshop has a ton of things going for it. We used to just do one live workshop a month on craft, and now we're doing two live workshops a month where you can interact with us and it tends to be me, but there are other people we bring in where we do presentations, and if you can't attend live, that's fine, because I record them and then I post the video for the members, and there's just a ton there's a ton going on. There's a ton of resources, so it's it might be worth checking out. That's a big thing. You know, we tend to sort of ease down at the end of the year where it comes to courses. You know, I mean, all of our instructors, you know, they're going to be gone for the holidays too, and have family coming to town, and so we don't have any courses running right now. Our courses will ramp back up at the end of January. We'll have all the intro courses available: the intro to writing, intro to art, intro to coloring, and intro to you know, and the lettering and production class. All of those ramp up at the end of January. But yeah, we step back from the courses for December and the first part of January and focus on that creators workshop. And yeah, it's good times. And we start our New Year's resolutions. That's always good too.
should have started them. What? How many days does it take to build a habit? 60, 70? Should have started them back in October.
Right. Make sure well, you... yeah. And the New Year's resolutions I decided on last January, I should have started on last January instead of waiting till now to be like, oh no, I got to get them done.
Here's my new comic. It's done. Right.
It's a 24-hour comic. It is
magically overnight. Yeah. A full issue.
Right. So that's what we got going on. I think it's a very exciting time to be making comics and to be a part of the workshop and becoming a part of a community that's really focused on improving our craft and getting our work out there.
It is never a bad time to make comics. So if you have any questions about what's going on at Comics Experience, comicsexperience.com, and follow the Comics Experience Twitter and Facebook accounts as well to get updated info as things go. Until next time, keep making the comics.